This is Anthony Hutless, and this episode is brought to you by Ivy Envy, Patreon supporter like me.
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMV podcast. My name is Corey. I'm one of your co-hosts, and joining me tonight is Andy. How's it going, Andy?
Hey, life's pretty good. Thanks for asking.
The Cubs are beating the Cardinals right now, so life is good.
Yeah, but I've learned from the first two games this week not to get my hopes up too much. But
right.
No, but kidding. I'm feeling pretty good here about this game.
Yeah, just be guarded.
Yep, I'm trying to be guarded. I've kind of forgot my history with the Cubs early this season, and so this series has been instructive, to say the least.
Right. Well, if you're just finding us and this is your first episode, these midweek episodes are a little different than our regular Sunday night episodes. The biggest difference is that Kurt is not here, but then also it feels like the vibe is a little bit different. I don't know if it's just because it's the two of us, or I don't know what.
I'm sure the games this week are kind of burning us a little bit.
Why? You're not watching the game, are you?
No, I'm not. I can't.
Something incredible happened, and I'm sure it will be all over Twitter, and you will see GIFs of it tomorrow. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. So a ground ball was hit, and it was kind of in the middle, and I'm assuming I know Starlin Castro was there, and Addison Russell, I think, was in front of him. I think it was Chris Bryant. It was on the other side of the field. I just caught it out of the corner of my eye. And I think, I don't know. Anyways, another infielder, either Bryant or Russell, fielded the ball, threw it to first, and Castro was right behind him and did the same exact motion like he was fielding the ground ball and throwing to first.
He was ghosting him.
It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And Rizzo's like shrugging his shoulders, like, what the heck was that? So, okay. Sorry. I kind of derailed our conversation there.
No, that's all right. I can't wait to see that.
That was absolutely delightful. That's probably my highlight of the year so far.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to see it.
It's so funny. Okay. Back on track. On this last episode, we announced that our iOS app is available and it's free. You can check it out in the App Store if you go to ivmv.com/iOS from your mobile device, from your iPhone or iPad. It will open up into the App Store. Also, if you allow push notifications, it'll let you know when new podcast episodes are posted. And I was also thinking the push notifications may be a good way to share like breaking news on the Cubs, like trades, maybe injuries, stuff like that. And then also I can send push notifications when our Sunday Night Live broadcasts are starting. So that's pretty cool. I'm loving this app more. The more and more I mess around with it, I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you push it real good.
Did you get my... I have sent one push notification.
I didn't get it, but that helped me to realize that I had them disabled somehow. So.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, the app is really slick. I'm really happy with it. And as we've said, an Android app is on... It is coming. I don't know... I wouldn't even really know what time frame we're looking at because this one took longer than I expected. But an Android app is on its way. And so the push notification that I sent was for some news that we have to share. We are having an Iowa Cubs meetup. It is on the calendar for June 6th. We have a handful of free tickets. So if you want to go and you would like to claim one of these free tickets, you can email me, Corey@IVMV.com, or you can tweet at me @IVMV. Or if you're in our app, you can contact me directly through there, either call and leave a voicemail or email the show directly from the app. We did have someone call and leave a voicemail, and they did not leave their name. So I don't know who they are, but they informed me that they got a hold of tech support or app support and got it. Because when we were messing around with it, we couldn't get the call the show thing to work. So this person contacted app support, and so they fixed it. And he was calling us to let us know that he was the reason you can now call from the app. So
thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for taking care of our dirty workforce. If anybody else would like to edit this podcast episode tonight, you're watching live. Shoot me an email. I'll Dropbox it to you. The Iowa Cubs event, meetup, and for all of the details, check out our Facebook event. If you're not on Facebook, I think you can still see it. You go to, ivmv.com/Iowa and it will take you to that. We're taking our families. So this, if you have kids, bring them. Don't if you don't want to or you don't have kids.
Bring them or don't.
And we will pregame at El Bait Shop again this year. So it will be a lot of fun. I had a blast last year at our meetup. I'm looking forward to doing another one. It's only like a month away.
We kind of thought when we planned this that we might see some different players than we're going to see, but I was a good place to get out to see Des Moines is a principal park, is a good place to get out to see a game. So,
right. And we could still see Javier Baez. And then also there is our bus trip to the Giants Cubs game on August 8th. And, also our annual weekend of the lake, that is August 21st through 23rd. So we're kind of telling you these things that way you can get them on your calendar. We will share details on the weekend at the lake later. But if you're interested, it is, again, August 21st through the 23rd. So let's talk about this Cardinals series. It's been an interesting series. I'm not sure if I've paid more attention to a series and I've been walking around the house sweating this series out like it's the playoffs. I mean, I really have. Like they were, they lost the first two games, and I'm like, it was like they were down 2-0 in the playoffs. It was like I don't know. I don't know.
Would it be different if the Cardinals didn't have the best record in baseball?
Maybe that's it. I mean, I think it's the team that we're going to have to knock off, and it's also the team that is the luckiest freaking team in baseball, and it has some sort of voodoo magic thing they've hired in like 2006, and they just keep whatever witch it is in the clubhouse, and it's just she just keeps working her magic. It's so ridiculous. It's so absurd. This series, like just the first two games, if you don't believe in magic after those two games, I don't know what to tell you.
Right. I mean, and it became painfully obvious that there seems to be some sort of supernatural shenanigans at work here. Right. After the Cubs score 5 runs in the first inning and go on to lose the game, and they also score 9 runs in the entire game. I know. So to score 9 runs, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, if you would have told me that if you would have told me that the Cubs scored 5 runs in the first inning and 9 in the game, yeah, you're thinking, oh, there's no way we lost that game.
So, I mean, they've scored 13 runs in the first two games of this series. And I think the television commentator said, I mean, you score that many runs and you would expect to be 1-1 in the series for at least.
Right.
And they're 0-2 so far.
Right. And we won't completely comment on tonight's game. We're obviously recording this during the game, but the game is evening up as we speak.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I can barely stand it. I'm seriously, like, I didn't like the Cardinals before, and it's just getting worse.
Here's something to make you hate the freaking Cardinals. How about when Carpenter hits a home run in the 5th inning to tie the game and does a curtain call and a hat tip in May, on May 5th?
Carpenter irritates me. He's a good, darn good baseball player, but
all of them are so irritating. Like it's like Adams irritate. They're all so irritating because they should not be this good.
Peter Borges with his bat sniffing. I don't know if you saw that. Like, dude freaking sniffs his bat. And JD kind of called him out on it. Like, he said something to the effect of sniffs his bat like it's a fine cigar or something like that. And then, like, Carpenter with his little, like, gimmicky, like, hold the bat halfway up the barrel swing that he does. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
They are such an irritating team.
Yeah, I can't take it anymore.
Well, this morning, Don, our faithful listener, that, man, did you see that? Speaking of Don, did you see that she ran a marathon? And yes, we were one of her motivators. Like, we motivated her for a mile.
Yeah, and I feel like that day I felt something. You know, it must have been during that mile. Like, I felt like there was some mojo.
I just felt tired. She must have been sucking all the energy out of me. Yeah. That was an honor, though, to be listed. Not only to be listed and to be her motivation for a mile, but I also liked it that in her marathon, 26.2 miles, that God got 0.2 miles.
But in all seriousness, I mean, we feel blessed to have listeners like her, and that
there's
so many listeners that are just like her that we have. And man, we just know we don't take that for granted, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah, that was an honor, flattering. But anyways, Dawn, she posted this in our private Facebook group for our Patreon supporters this morning. She said, "So are we playing that badly, or are the Devil Birds that good? I'm not sure either answer will make me feel better. Feeling good about tonight and tomorrow, though, I think Lester and Arrieta can go deep and we can avoid the bullpen of death."
Man, you know, I think she really said what one of the major problems has been with the first two games, and that's the starters, first of all, giving up a lot of runs, but I think maybe even more importantly, not going deep into the games. I mean, their pitch counts are getting elevated early on. And, you know, I'm talking about Wood and Hendricks specifically. Mm-hmm. And then that in turn has put a lot of pressure on the bullpen. And they, you know, that's been pretty spotty as far as their performance, too. A couple of guys have done well. Notably, I would say, I think kind of flying under the radar is Phil Koch has had two scoreless appearances. But by and large, the pitching has kind of let the team down because the offense has been playing pretty well, although there's one aspect of the offense that I'm concerned with, and you know, maybe we can talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, well, I think the overall mood of Cubs fans is that I think they're feeling very frustrated after the first few games of this series, and I understand why. I'm not really that frustrated with the results.
Mm-hmm.
No, I am I am frustrated with the results, and I'm frustrated with the Cardinals. But I'm not down on this team because of these games.
Right.
You know, I kind of look at it like, okay, so they had that crummy series with Milwaukee, and really kind of going back to that last game of the Pirates series, this team was in an offensive funk. Offensive and offensive funk.
Man, that funk is offensive.
In those four games, they scored a grand total of 6 runs. And I said on our last episode that heading into this Cardinals series, I really wanted to see how this team responded to it. And I would say that they've responded well offensively.
Sure.
It just hasn't resulted in wins. You know, they put up 9 runs on Monday, 4 runs on Tuesday. The offense looked like it was back to clicking or at least running well enough to win games. But unfortunately, these Cardinals are just playing damn good baseball.
Yeah, they just seem like a charmed team all the time. I mean, they, for example, on Tuesday's game, they went 5-for-11 with runners in scoring position. I mean, they just seem to be clutch very often. But I want to point out that one thing that the Cubs didn't do in both games is they only touched up the Cards bullpen for 1 run between both games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they really did a great job at knocking the starters, you know.
Well,
I guess especially Monday's game, knocking the starter out early, but they're not really getting to the Cards bullpen. And I feel like the pitchers in the Cards bullpen they should be able to get to these guys.
Right, right. Not only should they be able to get to them, like, I don't think it's, you know, these aren't like, obviously it's not a bad bullpen, but these aren't like top notch guys or anything. I mean, it's a bullpen. So,
sure.
But the thing about it is that this bullpen has been used a lot. I mean, I think, you know, all three of the series of the games with the Pirates kind of came down to the, you know, weren't they all walk-offs?
They were all extra inning walk-offs.
Right. So, I mean, like, this bullpen has been used and, you know, the Cubs getting into the bullpen fairly early on Monday's game, and they just have not really been able to take advantage of them.
You know, and I was clinging to that. That was really occupying my mind as I saw the Cubs put up 5 runs in the top of the first. I was like, yes, this is exactly what they need, is to knock this starter out early, get to this bullpen, which is taxed and is probably worn out, and it didn't have any effect, really. I mean, they only got 1 run off of the bullpen in that Monday game, and I can't remember at what point the bullpen took over. I think it was maybe even the 5th inning.
I don't remember. Yeah. Well, let's start with the positives from this series so far. Sure. I guess for me, the highlight for me, especially on Monday, was Chris Bryant. He went 1-for-1 with 4 walks.
You know, oh my gosh!
Reached base in all 5 at bats. And the big thing, it wasn't even so much that. I think what I loved the most about that game was it wasn't that game. It was on Tuesday night's game. What I really loved was his aggressiveness on the base paths Tuesday night when he scored from second on a fairly routine Castro ground ball to short. But Castro was really hustling down the line to make it possible. And I mean, Bryant just never looked up and rounded third, and a bad throw and it drew Adams off the bag, and Bryant was able to score. So I don't know. I guess that's kind of where I would start with just,
sure.
You know, that
drove in a run in the second game too. I mean, the guys played well, and, you know, he's been fairly solid in the field. He's made some good plays. He made an error in Tuesday's game, but overall, I mean, you got to be pleased with how he's playing. He's really helping the team.
Right. For a rookie, you know, to go 1-for-1 with 4 walks, a rookie.
Yeah. That's... And, I mean, and speaking of rookies too, Russell has been really good in this series. Right. He hit a homer in Monday's game. I think Tuesday's was even better. I mean, the dude went 2-for-3 with 2 doubles and a walk.
Right.
So, I mean, it seems like, and I mean, he narrowly missed a homer there too. And so he is, seems to be getting on track as far as, his offensive performance.
And he hit a ground rule double, here tonight in Wednesday's game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Also Rizzo, on Tuesday, he went 3-for-4 with a double and a walk.
He's destroying. He's actually being the superstar that we hope and want him to be, and that the Cubs need him to be.
Yeah.
Dude has just been a champ in this entire series. He was 3-for-4 with a walk in Tuesday's game.
Yeah. And one of those was a double.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one other player that I would like to highlight is Montero. He went 2-for-4 with a walk and 3 RBIs on Monday. And basically what it is I'm just really enjoying watching him, both behind the plate and at the plate.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can see what just, you know, his experience shows in all facets of the game. And he's really come to life as far as his bat is concerned. I'm starting to feel a lot of confidence when he comes to the plate that he can make something happen.
Yeah. Any other positives that you'd like to discuss?
Boy, you know, not a whole lot. I mean, some of the bullpen guys, I think the bullpen's been kind of getting a lot of flack and getting kind of trashed lately. But there were a couple guys that have pitched well in the series so far. But yeah, just overall, the pitching's been pretty bad. I think that's pretty much it as far as really good performances.
How about the negative stuff?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, the starting pitching, Travis Wood on Monday, you know, the 6 earned runs, but the giving up the grand slam in the first inning to put the score at 5-4 was really deflating. I mean, and you know, one of the major factors in them losing that game, I feel, And then Tuesday, Hendricks only gave up 4 earned runs, but he didn't go deep into that game. I was noticing one thing about Hendricks is sometimes his location is insanely good. I mean, people have already noted that plenty of times, but I was just watching where Montero puts his glove and how many times Hendricks actually hits that exact spot.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were times he was missing though, for sure.
Yeah. And I think there wasn't a lot of movement on his pitches. No. It seemed to,
Yeah,
but you know, honestly, he looks like what you would expect from a bottom of the rotation guy.
Sure.
You know, yeah. I mean, it's kind of sucked that the first two games of this series were our bottom, you know, the back end of our rotation. Yeah. I mean, Wood was kind of frustrating, especially like he kind of got in on the offensive action, you know, and I don't know. You would hope that if you spot a guy a 5-run lead in the first inning, that you can. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you hate to see. You're right. I mean, it was deflating for him to give up a grand slam, and I don't know. I really wish that we could have started this series with the top of our rotation.
Yeah, me too. Because it. Looking ahead to the games 3 and 4, I felt a little bit more confidence.
Yeah. But you talk about how maybe the rotation or the bullpen is a little bit maligned, I guess. Pedro Strop, man, he looked awful. He was charged with 3 runs and did not record an out.
So yeah. He walked a guy too.
Right. 2 hits and a walk. And then Edwin Jackson finally has an ERA above 0.
Yeah, his first earned runs given up this season, he gave up 2 in Tuesday's game. And so I feel like, you know, I'm still not down on him by any means. I think that he's still serviceable in the bullpen. He's shown himself to be serviceable, but my goodness, it's great to finally have Grimm back.
Right. Yes.
And I know we're going to talk about some roster moves later, but yeah, I mean, it's pretty evident that the Cubs have really missed Grimm and Ramirez. And so getting one of those two guys back is going to be a good thing for the Cubs.
Yeah. What do you think about James Russell coming back to the Cubs? I'm not sure we've talked about this on the podcast yet.
I I've never loved James Russell, but like I've said before, I've always kind of hated most of the Cubs' left-hand specialist pitchers. And so he's at least been serviceable in that position. Like I feel like I've always felt a little bit of confidence in him. I thought it was good that he was pitching well in Iowa because Koch had been struggling. And so he gave them another option as far as just a lefty to put in there and in the situations that Koch had been getting.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking, like, with Russell coming back, how different is that clubhouse than the one he was in before with the Cubs?
Yeah, it's got to be kind of bizarre for him.
Yeah. Okay, Andy, I'm tweeting you the GIF.
Okay. Oh, okay, GIF of the ghosting.
Yeah, I want to know. I want to hear your response to it.
So the Cubs tweeted this out with a hashtag relationship goals.
Oh man.
What? What? That is way more. What? 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 Oh man, you better put that on our Facebook page now so people can know what we're talking about, but holy cow, that is that's way stranger than I from your description.
Now you know why I couldn't hold it together as I was trying to start our show. And
how do you even explain that? Okay, since this is a podcast and we're looking at something that's visual, wait a second, who is that making a play on the ball?
It's,
there,
it's Bryant.
Okay, yeah, I mean, so you have Chris. I got confused. It's Chris Bryant making a play on a grounder and throwing over to Rizzo. But Castro is completely mirroring his movements behind him. Like even the double clutch into the glove, you know, to get a handle on the ball, from everything from that to the throwing motion too. And the footwork, it's almost, yeah, that is bizarre. I can't stop watching it either. Like I've let this thing play about 20 times in a row. Okay, I'm gonna finally stop it now. Gee whiz.
I'm so happy that happened. That's the kind of thing that, like, if I'm having a crummy day, I'm just gonna pull that up and watch it. So I will put it in our show notes for this episode. But if you're paying attention to Cubs stuff, I'm sure you've already seen it. But
Bryant's doppelganger, or I don't know what to think of that, man. That's crazy. He's just practicing for when he actually does get a ball.
It's so good.
It's kind of like trying to time the pitcher, you know, in the on deck circle.
right. I don't. He does double clutch.
I mean, it's he's mirroring him. Down to almost the minutest detail.
It's so, and then I love Rizzo's reaction. Like, what? Oh my gosh. Okay, I've got to move on from it, because I could spend the next like 45 minutes just watching that. So I guess if you want to look at these games so far, the first two games at least, with optimism, that's what I'm choosing to do. I'm choosing optimism. Number one, it was the bottom of the rotation, poor performances by Wood and Hendricks, and the Cubs were still in those games. And really, number two, that's it. They're in the games. I feel like they're hanging with the Cardinals. They're right there. They're just coming up a bit short, which is really frustrating, because this Cardinals team is crazy hot right now, you know, and they're so freaking lucky. But I mean, look at how closely we are playing the best team in baseball. And, you know, that inning yesterday was so frustrating. I think it was the sixth inning. The Cubs score, what, I think three runs. They go up 4-1. And then the Cardinals respond with that three-run homer off Carpenter. So frustrating. But the thing about it, too, is that the Cubs aren't just keeping these games close. They're leading. You know, they're not right. They're not leading at the end of the ninth, but they're leading throughout a lot of the game. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
that's where I'm at with this Cardinal series so far.
Yeah, certainly a lot of positives to be taken away from it.
Right, and I've seen a lot of like Twitter meltdown over these two games, and it's like, you know what? Like, yeah, we've given the Cardinals two games, but at the same time, we're hanging with them, and they're playing the best. You know, they're the best in baseball right now. And we're hanging them with them, playing them well. And I think you have to see that as a success, you know.
I think we're doing it a little bit better.
Well, and we're doing it with such a young, inexperienced team that hasn't even started to, like, shape itself. You know, it hasn't even, like, come together yet. And I don't know. I really am pretty optimistic, even after what we've seen the last couple of days. I'm not as nearly as down on everything as everybody else is, or at least what I've seen, you know, the conversations and stuff.
Yeah. There's plenty of doom and gloom out there if you seek it out, but
yeah. But I'm actually encouraged.
There's a lot to hang on to as being very positive from this series.
Yeah. Moving on, some news going on with the Cubs. Chris DeNorfia is headed to the disabled list again. He aggravated his hamstring on Monday night, and he was running the bases. It's the same hamstring that has been bothering him this year. I like DeNorfia a lot, and I would like to see the Cubs not have to rush him back just to ensure that he's completely healed and it's not going to flare up again.
Yeah, I mean, but do you think of him as the sickest player, or you just kind of like him a little bit?
It depends on how many R's you put at the end of player, I guess.
But yeah, it kind of sucks because he seemed to be hitting pretty well. I mean, he was 2-for-2 in that game in which he got injured. So yeah, it's too bad. But at the same time, I'm glad for Matt Caesar. I like seeing him up with the big league club too. But
yeah, I don't know. I like Caesar too, but I don't know. I like Dino. So yeah, so Dino hitting the DL kind of leads us into the next topic, which is roster moves.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of transactions recently from the Cubs claiming Anthony Vervaro off of waivers on the 3rd and then subsequently designating him for assignment on the 6th. it's been a busy several days here. One of the key things for me was that they activated Justin Grimm from the 15-day disabled list on the actually today. He's available for tonight's game, and we've already noted that the bullpen has certainly missed him. I kind of think of him as slightly a better Brian Schlitter, because his stuff kind of reminds me of what Schlitter does but doesn't do very well. But, you know,
yeah.
So it's great to see him. The Cubs also optioned Junior Lake back to the Iowa Cubs. He'd shown up in a couple games with the Cubs, but then they brought up Matt Caesar from Iowa. And I think Caesar, a little bit more discipline at the plate, discipline, better defense. You know, there are several reasons why maybe they would prefer to have Matt Caesar over Junior Lake right now. Anyway, one other thing from the transactions list is Blake Parker was released. Did you see that?
Right. I saw, yeah, DFA'd.
He was DFA'd and then he's been released now.
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay.
Yeah, as of today, he got released. Huh. He was designated yesterday.
Interesting.
And so we noted on one of the recent podcasts how long term, how long that guy, his tenure has been with the Iowa Cubs. I think we said 7 seasons or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it seemed at times like he was going to be a piece that the Cubs could use, but it just never really materialized.
No. Nope. Anything else as far as the transactions?
No, I mean, there's minor stuff like Joe Ortiz, was outrighted to Iowa. So that's a good thing. I mean, he seemed like he had some promise.
He had to clear waivers.
Right. Exactly. They designated him for assignment and then he cleared waivers. So then now he's been outrighted to Iowa. Yeah. So that's about it.
Okay. So we're 4 weeks into the season. So you know what that means, Andy.
Oh yeah.
It's time to start voting for the All-Star game.
It's time to hashtag vote Rizzo. Your favorite pastime.
That's right. So, you know, those players that have just shown over the long grind of these 4 weeks that they're deserving to represent their teams at the All-Star game. You know, yeah. I hate fan voting.
I know you hate it.
I hate it so much. I hate this. I hate it that like May 1st it starts up and not even a full month. I think it was May 1st. Maybe they did actually wait a full month, but it's in full force now.
And you find yourself breaking out the machete to hack through the forest of All-Star game related hashtags.
Oh, I hate it. The only thing I like about the All-Star game is probably the game itself. And I don't really care for that either.
So nothing.
Well, I mean, I don't mind it. I kind of enjoy watching certain players play together. Like I find that to be entertaining about it. So I saw that the Diamondbacks, they've changed their name on Twitter, not their handle, but their display name to hashtag vote D-backs. On Cubs.com, they are telling you which Cubs are hashtag ASG worthy. And they're telling us that Tommy La Stella is hashtag ASG worthy. He belongs in the All-Star game. So allow me to read through Tommy La Stella's 2015 All-Star game worthy stats. Mr. La Stella has played in 2 games. He has 6 at-bats, 1 hit, a single. He struck out once and he stole 1 base. his stat line, or Saltine, if you will, is 167, 167, 333. If that's not hashtag all-star game worthy, I don't know what is.
That's not too bad. I'd say, but that one hit, though, man, that was sweet. It was something to behold. It was ASG worthy. But on the flip side, though, I mean, you can't fault teams for just, I mean, teams in MLB in general for wanting to try to create some buzz, even if it's super forced around the sport.
Don't do it now. It's so stupid. Oh, I hate it. I hate it.
But if there are like people who that kind of gets them going on baseball a little bit.
You tell me who, Andy. Who does that get going on baseball? Give me a break. If you're listening to this podcast, and this is my hot take, I guess. If this gets you like, oh, I'm excited about baseball now because there's a freaking hashtag for the All-Star game. And, you know, it's probably still snowing in certain parts of the country. Oh, I hate it.
I gotta tell you, I'm slightly more interested in the game because of the... Shut up. All-star game.
That's right. Hashtag vote D-backs. Oh, hell. This season started.
Well, I guess me playing devil's advocate there was worth it because, man, you got pretty riled up.
It's stupid. Is it not just the most stupid thing? I hate fan voting. It makes me hate hashtags.
Oh. Yeah, I don't like it either. Look,
but hashtags, man, are like the innocent victim in this whole thing.
The innocent victim. There are no innocent victim, Corey. NIV, if you will.
Oh, I hate it. Hate it. I'm just going to keep saying that. It's so stupid. Oh, God.
Okay, so
at least it's over at the beginning of July.
All-Star game and are into getting a buzz going for the All-Star game this early in the season, let us know. We want to hear your
softest
argument.
Right. I don't understand any. Should you be able to vote for the All-Star? First off, fans should not be trusted with voting. It shouldn't happen. But secondly, should you be voting in the first week of May? When you've seen, like, what? Okay, yeah, I better vote John Lester because he's on his fifth start, you know? I've seen everything I need to see.
I'm going to spam vote Tommy La Stella now just to...
Yes, okay, now I'm in favor of it. I want to see Tommy La Stella voted into the All-Star game. I'm pretty sure we have the audience to make that happen.
And he's going to go like 4 for 5.
right. Anyways, okay, let's move off of this. Yeah, if you are in favor of any All-Star ASG hashtag or anything, please try to convince me because I want to see it because I just don't. I hate it. So let's move on to the photo caption contest.
But anyway, the photo for this week is a picture of Theo. And he is flanked by Clark and whatever the freaking other Cubs mascot is.
Stu? You know? Is it Stu, maybe? I think it's Stu. But I could be. I think it's STU, Stu.
What?
I think. I could be wrong.
Okay, so I don't know. There's the other Clark-esque mascot, too.
It's a South Bend Cubs mascot.
Oh, right. I can see the logo on him now. Okay. All right. So. In fact, Theo appears to be, he must be in South Bend, huh?
Right. So that was their opening night. He threw out the first pitch and he tried to hit Clark.
Oh yeah. Okay. I remember now. So anyway, yeah, it's a picture of Theo, but right about at home plate with the mascots on either side of him pointing to somebody. So here are the entries. Ready for these, Corey?
I'm ready.
All right. Jason, our buddy from New Mexico, says, and so the, you know, a lot of these are going to be the voice of Theo speaking here. And it says, today, kids, we're going to teach you to count. Which one of these is showing one ball? That's right, Theo. Which is showing zero balls? Yes, it's Stu. which is, Clark, put some damn pants on. Nick says, oh, I see you guys already have a mascot. Well, do you know of any other affiliates I can offload Clark to? Already trying to sweep him under the rug. Nick also wrote another one that says, who wants a hug from Clark? You over the... No? Okay, well, what about you? No? Okay, ma'am, I'm sure you'd love Clark to playfully massage your chest. No? Not even a little, eh? Well, okay, Crane, you might as well take the suit off. They're not interested.
I love not reading these ahead of time.
That's fantastic. Alfio wrote, Theo, Ernest Borgnine, and Yogi Berra walk into a ball yard. Oh, man, I love Ernest Borgnine. Airwolf fame. All right. Sam wrote, meet your new closer and setup man. Gotcha. Jordan says, ladies and gentlemen, the entertainment this half inning will be who wants to pull Theo's finger? Smells like roses, just so everybody knows. Joshua says, Theo and his homies. JC says, okay, Wellington Castillo plus these two for Mike Trout. Deal? Michael says, Stu and Clark bolt and leave Theo to fend for himself when they realize there is a Godzilla-sized mascot approaching the stadium. And then it says Godzilla movie reference. And there does appear to be a gigantic inflatable Stu in the background.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Aaron says, why do I have to wear pants when he gets to bare his legs? Stu is wearing pants for anybody who's not looking at the picture. Clark doesn't feel the need to wear pants. Scott says, I told you I got this. That must be Theo just being Theo. Tim says, who wants a bear hug? And Jeffrey writes, just like these two, you can also can be a Cubby Bear mascot. Like, I want you. Yeah. So Michael says, who wants to see me send these two to the A's for three prospects? Fantastic. Michael also wrote another one. It says, Billy Bean, is that you over there? Come here. We need to talk trade. Adam writes, pants or no pants? You choose. And Matthew says, if I hear one more word about wanting to go down the giant slides, I swear you will have to play with the Clarks all day. The Clarks.
Oh, man.
I like that. There's some good ones. My two favorites, I'll tell you, is Michael's, who wants to see me send these two to the A's for three prospects.
Yep.
And then I also like Nick.
Yeah.
Who wants a hug from Clark. And then, okay, Crane, you might as well take the suit off. That was the part of that one that put it over the top.
Yeah. I think that's my first choice is Nick's.
Take the Crane suit off.
The Crane suit.
Or Crane take the suit off.
Clark take the Crane suit off. Clark. That explains a lot.
Crane has been operated by a mascot this entire time.
That explains a lot of the business deals we've seen. Oh, man. So are you, what do you think?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. So good. They were both good. There were a lot of good ones in there, but man, I really loved that one, Nick. That was good. Well, this episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon contributors. Support from our Patreon campaign helps us keep this thing going, and it allows us to grow and do things like the second show each week, the Daily Northside Recap, and our iOS app, and soon to be Android app. If you have not subscribed to the Daily Northside Recap yet, check it out wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes, the iOS podcast app, Stitcher, all of the podcast apps. It's a free subscription, and it's a podcast that comes out every weekday morning and recaps the previous day's games in the Cubs organization from the Cubs all the way down to South Bend. So thank you for listening to this episode, and we will be back Sunday evening And if you want to watch it live, you can go to ivmv.com/live at 8:30 p.m. Central. And until then, go Cubs.